Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Yes, yes, yes.
We here.
So funny. So.
We said something else, listeners, and yeah. Alan struck it down.
Fun police. We changed places at this
yes,
point.
Yes, yes. He's being the fun police today.
So it's Father's Day weekend. Let's just stop there.
Okay. So I won't ask you any questions then.
What are your plans for how you will honor the fathers in your life? This weekend.
It is prom weekend in my household. So that probably gets no love because Little Miss Can't Please number two. It's all
now,
about
let me
her.
Ask you a question. So we know your daughter is now the state champion.
Yes.
And the high school record holder for our school.
Yes.
Does that give her extra clout? Like, can she get the big piece of chicken right now? Like, what's going on at the crib right now?
She is negotiating enhanced privileges for post-prom weekend activities.
Okay. Including?
I'm not even talking about it here because I'm not even confident
enhanced
that I'm good
privileges.
With what I've allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she started the negotiations hot. Like, all right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm sure she started.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I love your daughter. Yeah.
Most of the time, I love her too. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding, of course. But yeah.
So on my Father's Day, I like to just do whatever I want to do, whether it involves my kids or not.
Really?
Yeah. If I want to play basketball, I want to be able to do that with my boys.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Do you spend time with your father?
I'll see my dad.
Or it's all about you?
Yeah, I'll see my dad on Father's Day.
Mm.
Yeah. For a little bit, but hey. We got split this day.
We got to split the time.
Yeah.
So does the same work for Mother's Day? I remember there being talk of a washing machine, and I was like, no, that's not it. But then you wrote a poem.
It wasn't a poem. It was I did a video.
Oh, tribute. A video. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So she looks at her Mother's Day different than I look at my Father's Day.
That's like, what I was asking.
She wants to be with the kids. I'm like, man, forget them kids. Like,
yeah.
It's just different.
Yep.
Like, dads get to do that more, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no ties, no cologne. I feel like we had this conversation. Maybe it was Christmas or something where you were like.
I'm actually tough to buy gifts for real. Like, I have a bunch of gifts from my birthday a year ago that I haven't opened. Like.
You haven't opened or you haven't used? You don't mean like you didn't unwrap it.
Opened. Yeah. I don't know.
It's stressing me out.
It is difficult to receive gifts for me. Like, it's a challenge. I feel guilty. Like, I don't know. It's weird. So, like, I'll get Father's Day gifts, I'm sure. I'll use some of them, perhaps. Some will go back to the store. And certain things are just too nice for me. And I'll be like, nah.
I'm going to embrace you saying that it's weird.
Yeah. Just weird.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'll take the card. I'll open the card.
Sentimental.
Yeah. It's just a gift. I don't know. It's probably weird. They have a couple of quirks that you'll notice for sure.
You think I haven't? How long I've been here?
That's true.
How long have I known you?
A long time.
Okay.
A long time.
I'm gonna let up on you today, though.
Yeah.
Because we have company.
So, speaking of company, we don't just have any company.
Mm-hmm.
We have got literally one of the best realtors, real estate experts, possibly in the universe, that we've invited to join us today.
Facts.
And the way God works, literally, like, we've been getting so many questions about real estate recently. Is it a good time to buy? Is it a good time to sell? What should I do? And I'm like, we can talk about this. I'm sure we could research some things. But literally separately, Andrea and I both thought of the same exact person at the same exact time.
Literally. Because our guest is my realtor, helped us find...
First of all, she's my realtor. I saw her first.
Okay, fine. We can fight about that. But out of that business relationship was born an amazing friendship. And so I just feel really blessed that we get to do this. But yes, it was divinely ordered because we had the same thought at the same time, did not discuss it with each other, and put the idea out there probably within a day or two of each other, and here we are.
And made it happen. Yep. So our guest today is Kim Primus. Kim has been a full-time realtor for the last 21 years. She's a broker associate at Remax Diamond Realtors in Central Jersey, and she holds what's called her GRI, which I just learned about, which is the Graduate Realtor Institute designation, which is one of those things that helps her to stand out and part of the reason why she is so incredible and dope. Kim is also a wife and a mom, and I just learned that she's a grandmom, which is crazy because you don't look like my grandma. I'm going to just tell you that right now.
She's the new grandma.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe a grandma, but even that, I don't know if I fully believe all
right.
of this.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I've been knowing Kim. I've been knowing you for a long time, and you've been my favorite realtor for a very long time, and I appreciate you, and thank you for coming on.
I appreciate you too, Alan, and you, Andrea, as well.
And behind the scenes, real talk, we had to literally twist Kim's arm a little bit. A
little bit.
To make this happen today.
It's all right.
She's big time. Like, she don't just be coming on podcasts like this. And we appreciate you.
Yes.
Well, if I'm going to do a podcast with anyone, I'll have it with you guys.
There we go.
My first time doing a podcast, and it's all good.
Yeah. Also, Kim is a Franklin Warrior at this point. Yes. Honorary. Kim grew up in Brooklyn.
Yes.
But you've been living here for how long in Jersey?
22 years.
22 years. So you became a realtor like right after you got here?
Immediately.
Was that hard to come to a new, like a whole new land and take over the way you have?
Yes. It has really been, well, let me not say it was difficult. I met great people along the way, people like yourself.
Yeah.
Andrea. But especially you, and let me just put it out there that when I did start real estate, I met you at August's birthday party.
Yeah, my nephew.
Your nephew. And I told you I was new into real estate, and you said I'm going to support you.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Come on.
Here we are, yes! 17 years later.
You see what I'm trying to say?
Look at that.
So I saw her first, maybe, or no? She had already done your house?
Let's see. We closed in November 2006.
2006. So what year would that have been? You said August.
My second year of real estate.
All right. You knew it first.
Fine. All right. I saw it first.
Fine.
But let me say this, though. Andrea is my first client that I had with Remax Diamond. That was the first contract.
Yes.
Absolutely. Remember
there
that?
Was a, can we talk about that? We don't have to in detail, but.
Yes.
Yeah. So we were looking in the area and. Kim was a listing agent for a home that we looked at, but she was about to begin a transition. Mm. But we trusted her. Just the energy was just right. Yeah. And we trusted her to stay with her through the transition. And real talk, I'm really going to tell it. We were having an issue on the house we were selling. We were having an issue closing it. The agent on that part of the transaction was not really locked in. Mm-hmm. And Kim made that happen.
Really?
Kim made that happen so that we were in a position to be in the house that we're in now.
Kim's like,
because it was at risk.
I'll give them an offer they can't refuse.
That Brooklyn came out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hustle all day.
But I knew that someone who might have been going through that type of transition, who would go the extra mile to make that happen so that we can be in the position that we're in now. I mean, she didn't have to do that. Yeah, you could look at it and say, oh, she was going to benefit from that. And she would, but not everybody would have done that.
Yeah.
So we're forever grateful. And now we're neighbors.
Yes.
Practically.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've done phenomenally well in real estate from what I can tell.
Yes.
I don't know if you feel the same way, but like from
I
our
feel blessed.
Vantage point, like you've done really, really well.
There's always room to grow, but.
Of course.
I have had a successful career.
Yeah.
In You're a town known. That I have not grown up in. That I develop new relationships with that have sustained, most importantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's dope. And we take our hat off to you, and we appreciate you, my girl. So as we do, we always start off with some statistics. So we'll go through some stats. And Kim, if you feel the urge, jump in, opine, do your thing.
Correct.
Correct. So a lot of people are really confused about what's going on with housing right now, because the expectation coming into this year, interest rates were supposed to go down. Houses were supposed to be more affordable. We're not seeing that just yet. In fact, we're seeing housing prices are still growing 1.3%, which if you're a homeowner, that's a good thing. But if you're looking to buy, like, houses are getting more and more expensive. And I think folks are waiting for this moment when it becomes a buyer's market. It doesn't look like that just yet. What do you think, Kim? You think it's a seller's market or a buyer's market?
It is still very much a seller's market, especially in the New Jersey area. Let me just start off by saying that a lot of these stats that you see are nationally based.
Yeah, that's true.
But real estate is typically local
yeah.
to the market. And our Central Jersey market is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It is still favoring sellers. However, there are many opportunities that are not presenting itself for buyers.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I had a buyer revisit the market from 2001. Inventory was still similar to what it was back then till now.
And when you say revisit the market, what does that even mean?
That means that back in 2001, mm-hmm. we were searching for homes.
Okay.
The inventory wasn't as favorable as they would like.
Okay.
So they decided to park, revisit in a couple of years. Mm. And when I say park in a sense of, you know, let's just put the home search on pause, maybe build up a little bit more of a down payment.
Okay. So they were renters and they decided to keep renting?
Yes.
For literally... You said 2001 or 2021?
No, 2021.
Oh, I was going to say, damn, they waited 20.
That's a long time.
Like, yo, that's
it's
not
a whole mortgage
like...
paid off.
No, 2021.
Okay,
2021.
Got you.
We decided to, okay. you know, we went through the summer market. It's very competitive. This is off of the heels of COVID. Let's just revisit this in a few years.
Yeah.
So they re-entered the market a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And we were able to find a really great opportunity with a property that has sat on market for some time. It was an approved short sale,
mm-hmm.
which eliminated a lot of competition because today's buyers do not want to wait the indefinite time that short sale approvals typically take.
Mm.
We were able to make an offer, go through attorney review, and now we are under contract.
Love that. But let's break down a couple of these points. Short sale. What is a short sale?
Short sale is when a seller is in a pre-foreclosure state.
Okay.
They owe more to the lender. The mortgage company
yeah.
than what the property can actually sell for.
Mm.
So with that being said, they offer a discounted amount to their lender when they're selling the property,
yeah.
which is the short sale.
All right. So the house is worth $500,000, but they owe $600K.
Yes. And in order to expedite the sale, they would list it for $450.
Mm.
But that difference now has to be approved through the bank.
Yeah.
The bank is pretty much looking at their finances and determining, okay, is this going to be acceptable on their end?
Okay.
For the buyer, they just need to be patient while the seller is going through the process with the lender.
Mm. Okay. So analogy time. So you're in church,
mm-hmm.
breath's feeling a little dry. You go digging in your purse. You find a peppermint, but there's no wrapper on it and it's got a little hair on it. And you got a decision to make. Like, am I going to take the hair off? Am I... gonna just have funky breath. Like, you got to decide what to do. It's got a little hair on it. That transaction was a little hairy for that person.
Yes.
Because the person that's like, look, if I buy a short sale, it's going to take a little longer. Maybe I'm ready to move. Maybe I've got my kids that need to start school soon. Like, there's a lot of things that make people not want to deal with a situation with a little hair. But a short sale could be a good deal for somebody.
It could be a deal for someone that does not have a time of essence, so yeah. to speak, situation. They have that flexibility of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, my buyer did have that availability.
Yeah.
And we are, you know, pending a 45-day approval from the bank.
Yeah.
And I would imagine there's motivation by the seller as well, because the seller might have a sense of urgency for one reason or another, because then they get out from under a situation that's not sustainable.
Yes, absolutely.
Going back to short sales, like, I would imagine there's not a ton of these out there anymore. Like, if you think back to like 07, 08, 09, like that window, probably a lot of short sales. Now, absolutely. I would imagine it's a lot more rare.
Yes, and this is where the opportunities are, because when you work with a good real estate agent that really goes through the inventory that's available and seeks these opportunities. This was something that I came across and immediately introduced it to the client. And here we are. This was last week, and we just concluded attorney review on Wednesday.
So just to put in perspective, what do you think that house was worth versus what price did they get?
So the area comps that I did submit to the buyer before we committed fully was about $550,000.
Okay.
And we purchased this as an approved short sale at $440,000.
Sheesh, so almost $100,000 in equity.
Absolutely.
On day one.
Wow.
How long did it take from the point that the offer was made until the closing happened?
A matter of days.
Days to close?
No, days of acceptance.
Okay.
Right.
But I mean the whole, let's say I'm looking to buy this house and I want to move in. From the day I see the house to the time I move in, like how much time does that short sale take versus like if it was a regular sale?
So the traditional sale can typically take 45 to 60 days closing from the point of a contract being accepted, going through the home buying process to moving in.
Okay.
On a short sale, you have more of a lengthier process because the banks are involved and they have to look at the seller's finances. So that can take maybe a 45 to 60 day window.
All right. So what we learned from this is that short sales may take a little bit longer, but it could be really worth it. There's probably less of them out there. But if I were coming to you as a client looking to buy a home and I only wanted short sales, like, is that something that's easy to fill? Or is it literally just like every now and then?
Every now and then. In this market, typically buyers are, well, not so much buyers, but sellers have major equity into their property because the home sales have risen over the years. So you typically don't find many short sales available. They're like unicorns. And we found a unicorn and he was able to win off of that.
Yeah. Okay. So we mentioned that home prices have grown. So this year, the median home price sold in the United States, $437K. The average though was $367,000, which means there's a lot of activity on the high end and not as much on the low end. So that average is lower than what the median is. On average, the number of homes sold is down 3% year over year. There are 442,000 homes sold in April versus 455,000 homes sold a year ago. So less homes being sold, prices are higher. Again, it feels like it's still not a great buying opportunity just yet. But at the same time, if you wait, the prices are only going one way.
Correct. So the best way to navigate through this current real estate climate is to just go for it. Just do it. Yeah. If you wait for the interest rate to drop, it becomes more competitive, which then drives up the multiple offers. And then you end up spending more for the property based off of its list price.
Yeah. I heard a long time ago, you marry the house, you date the rate. Have you heard that?
Absolutely. And it's a true thing, right? Because you can commit yourself to the purchase property, to the purchase price of the property.
Yeah.
And as rates change, then you can always refinance. Mm-hmm. But the goal is to secure the property.
Yeah.
Get the win.
So the mortgage is like your side piece. Like, really?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I want to take a step back to short sales for a minute.
Yeah.
Just for a second. So is there any, in the process, are there any limitations to think about for people who may be buying an investment property as opposed to a primary residence?
I think it's all the same. They're typically sold as is.
Mm-hmm.
Most banks will not do any type of repair to the property.
Okay.
Unless it is something major, something structural.
Yep.
Outside of that, you're pretty much purchasing a home as it is.
Yep.
And doing whatever is necessary.
Okay. So there's really no, it sounds like there is no restriction. So it doesn't matter if a home is being sold through the short sale process, it doesn't matter what the buyer is using the home for.
Correct.
Okay. Cool.
The bank just wants their money at that point.
They just want their money at that point.
Right. Yeah. And the seller just wants to not have to go through foreclosure.
Correct. And they don't want to have any more debt affiliated with the property.
Mm-hmm. Got it. We just, we're investors, so we have to ask those questions.
Absolutely.
So I'm thinking,
So you mentioned earlier, real estate is very local. I think that we should probably talk about some of these markets that are doing really well and some of the ones that ain't doing so well. Dre, you want to walk us through? And I just started calling you Dre. I don't know if you noticed this or not. Other people call you Dre?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
That's why I still keep Andrea.
Okay.
You know that's not my given name, right?
Andrea is not your given name?
My, it's not. Wait a minute.
Learn something new. My given name is Andrea.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. The pronunciation. Okay. That's all. Okay. That's, but that New Orleans, Louisiana thing, it came out Andrea.
Okay.
And then people started calling me Dre.
So Andrea?
It's fine.
No, I'm saying that's the one you were.
Andrea.
That's what your mama calls you.
My mom calls me that today.
Andrea.
I was named by my father.
Okay.
Who, until the day he died, called me Andrea. There's a whole nother side story there, but we're not doing that today.
What do most people call you? What does your sister call you?
Andrea.
Okay. All right.
It's just a thing.
Well, Dre.
I have multiple personalities. I'm not schizophrenic.
That's funny.
But it's like, what mood am I in today? Am I in a Dre mood and I'm in a Andrea mood?
That's
like,
fair.
That's Andrea's classy.
Okay.
Andrea Gray.
She's sophisticated.
Classy. Andrea's like down to earth homegirl. Yeah. I've never been Andrea. No offense to any Andreas who are listening.
That's just not true.
Andrea just doesn't sound like me. Right?
Yes.
I'm not an Andrea.
You are definitely an Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So real estate is very local. Dre, would you like to tell us some of the markets where things are going?
I got off topic because I'm just hanging out with friends, right?
That's all right.
Yeah, so let's talk about some areas that the real estate market seems to be pretty hot. I'm going to go in order from, we're going to highlight a few. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Weren't you just there? No, you're in Minneapolis.
Same thing.
They're not there. You're going to get some flack
from folks.
When
I'm in the Midwest,
folks,
I literally can't tell these places apart.
Literally, okay, let's hop around
I don't even know where I am sometimes.
You're going to get some flack, though.
Fine.
You're going to get some flack. Because we have clients in the Minneapolis area.
We sure do.
Yeah, so you can call him, get on him about that. Arlington, Virginia, which I wonder how that's going to be impacted. Like, now we have all the DOGE cuts and government agency cuts, and I'm seeing, you know, through our client base, some challenges with people losing jobs and income in the area. So I wonder how long that will be sustained. But, Arlington, Virginia. Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Prices rising in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah. Fastest growing sales price. Philly.
Interesting.
Fort Lauderdale, you surprised by that?
Yeah, because so we have a bunch of clients in South Florida. And everybody's just reeling from these insurance prices being hiked. So.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So sometimes like these markets don't even make sense based on what's happening. Like people just want to be in South Florida and we'll just pay what we got to pay. Because I also have a list of places where prices are falling and there's a bunch that are in Florida. So it's not, I was thinking that maybe Florida is just all one place, but it goes to show, Kim, to your point, very local. Because like Tampa is on the list of places where prices are dropping. Jacksonville.
It's on the coast.
Prices are dropping. Mm-hmm. But you're saying Fort Lauderdale.
So I'm no expert, but I always have a theory. But let's hear from the expert.
Interestingly enough, earlier today, we had a meeting at the office where we talked about these markets in Florida in particular and the southern end of Florida. Now, you think about these are hot spots, Fort Lauderdale, Miami. They're all relatively close to that tourist attraction.
Yep.
And that's where you would have that lure and that demand for properties in those areas. Further up, the Jacksonville, Tampa area, not so much.
Yeah.
And that's where it goes back to it being more locally based on the activity of real estate more than anything that goes per state, per town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking similarly, Fort Lauderdale and the proximity to Miami, right? Absolutely. If someone wants to be in Miami or Miami Beach, because that's just a great place to be.
Yeah.
If you come a little bit further out to Fort Lauderdale, maybe you get a little bit more for your money.
You know what's
but
crazy
I don't know.
About Florida right now, because I'm down there a lot. It can take you 2 hours sometimes to get from Fort Lauderdale to South Beach because of traffic. Like traffic is crazy. Like I saw last time I was in Florida. Well, last time I was in South Florida. I just was in Orlando.
I was gonna say
lurking
last
by
week.
The way. There was a cat that was like hauling a boat, like a little like a one or
catamaran.
Like a, no, like a little like a little motorboat.
Okay.
And the thing fell off and went parallel across the whole highway. Yeah.
Wow.
Florida's a crazy place.
It is. My dad lives in the Fort Lauderdale area, and I would typically spend time with him and then head down to South Miami. And it can take you about maybe an hour, hour and a half
in
traffic. It really is. It's oversaturated.
Got it. Well, we're going to go to break and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about some of these local markets and what's happening in other places. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Ellen Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Momentum.
So we're back.
We are back.
And we're going to continue this conversation about what's happening in some of the regional markets.
Yeah. So here's what we're seeing. This is high level. And Kim, you certainly have your own perspective that is more valuable than ours when it comes to real estate. What we're seeing is certain parts of the country doing really well. Certain parts of the country, not so much. As we mentioned earlier, you have places like Jacksonville, Central Florida, where prices are not rising as quickly as other places. You also have just more expensive real estate on the coast, right? So Boston, New York, DC, much pricier real estate.
New Jersey.
New Jersey's a part of that, absolutely. Yeah. LA, prices are high. Portland, Seattle, like literally the coast. And then you're seeing the most affordable parts of the country are like places that you typically fly over, like for real, like Kansas City's looking good right now. Indy, Cincinnati, like, no disrespect, but like, you know.
Nobody really wants to live there.
I said it, not me.
Sorry.
There has to be another
supply
draw.
And demand.
Yeah, that's a fact. But I will say, like, now that you can pretty much live in a lot of places and still maintain jobs and maintain jobs remotely, just opened up a lot of opportunities for people.
Yes, it has, but then also take into consideration that the income that is earned in these more popular areas, it does change once you do move into the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reflects what the affordability factor is there as well.
Yeah. What I tell my parents is like, look, y'all want to move to North Carolina? Fine. But you'll never see your grandkids again. So that's on you.
That's a shame.
And it's kept them here. Because the other thing that people don't think about when it comes to where you live is where's your family? Where are your people? Where are your friends?
Well, you can develop those over time.
not new family. Friends.
You could. I mean, it comes with a risk.
You can develop a new family, but
that's another podcast.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go abduct some kids in Kansas City. Yeah. So let's talk about inventory. So nationally, we're seeing that there is an uptick in the number of homes being sold. There are over 1.9 million homes for sale in the U.S. right now, which is 16% higher than where it was a year ago. What do you think the cause is of all these extra houses being sold?
New construction.
Interesting.
Mm. New construction. The resale market of pre-existing homes have slowed down, and builders are now acquiring much more land. And if you notice, between the new luxury apartment builds that are happening around us, mm-hmm. as well as newer developments, some of them are geared towards the adult community, the 55-plus community, and this is where you're seeing that uptick with more homes on market.
I would also imagine there's somebody that's like, look, these house prices are way higher than I would have ever dreamed. Let's go ahead and sell this thing to take advantage of where these prices are.
That is true.
Because I get texts all the time like, hey, your house is worth XYZ. Do you want to sell? I'm like, nah. But I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like,
yeah. But then where do you go?
I know.
That's our issue.
Move.
Yeah, that's our issue. I'm like.
You'd move to Kansas.
Yeah, no.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. No.
These areas.
No.
And this is why.
Go get you a one-room shack with a mink on your back, I guess. I don't know. So let's talk about the amount of time it takes to sell a home. So the median number of days that it takes to sell a home right now is about 40 days, which is a little longer than where it was a year ago. Are you finding that it's taking longer for homes to sell?
I'm finding that there are more days on market. Now, the actual process of the homes being sold, which is, again, once you have an offer accepted, going through the attorney review process, going through the home inspection process, the appraisal, those are the steps that happen in between the offer being accepted to actually getting to the closing table. And that can take 45 to 60 days. But actually securing a property, have an offer accepted, typically we're seeing about maybe a 2 to 3 week days on market, maybe 20 to 30 days. Whereas months ago, you would see maybe 10 to 15 days.
So it's slowing down a little bit?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. They're staying on market longer. We are seeing more price reductions, which goes back to the opportunities that are available for today's buyers.
Yeah. So 20% of homes sold in April had a price reduction. Does that seem like market? Does that seem fair for Central Jersey, or does that seem like a bigger percentage?
For Central Jersey, I think that's fair. Because we've seen these accelerated prices over the years, sellers have a mindset of wanting to price at the highest end of where they deem possible.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Like, sure.
Of course, people want their home to be sold for billions of dollars. Like,
absolutely. Everybody thinks they have $1 million home.
Word.
Well, wants and needs don't create value. And the buyers ultimately determine that value. And that could come under the guise of the multiple offer situation if you are priced competitively. And also if you are priced over market and the buyers do not see the value in what it is that you're selling, you will sit. And that's where we see the 2 to 3 week, the 40 days on market, because the buyers just don't feel that they need to pay what that seller is asking.
So what's your advice to someone when they come to you, they say you're the expert, but then at the same time, they're not trying to budge on their price and their price, you know, is not market. Like, what's your advice for them?
Well, we'll try it your way first for the first 2 weeks at your number. And if we don't receive any activity as far as any written offers, then we'll try it my way as the professional.
Wow. That's like the opposite.
That sounded shady at the end.
But it's the truth.
It is. I mean, yeah. You have to know your value and your worth too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I also, you know, I also want the seller to feel as if they are also part of this, right? Because you can't just dictate to everyone. You can give them the information. You can show them what the stats show. But if they are, you know, very strong-willed in what it is that they want. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fight with you. So, hey, let's try it your way and let's see how that works out for you.
I love it. Yeah. Where Brooklyn at?
So it's almost
that's
like
the
we
Brooklyn
could try
approach.
It the right way, or we could try it your way.
We'll try it your way. I'm not going to say I told you so, but you know what? Knock yourself out. Yep. But we will have that in writing that within, you know, this time frame, if we don't receive what it is that you're looking for in your price range, then hey.
Yeah. One thing that I found unique about buying a home in the last 5 or 6 years, where people are now writing letters and submitting them with their bids. I didn't see that 20 years ago. Is that new or is that?
No, the love letter has always been around. That's really what we call it, the love letter, okay. Right? I love your home. It's everything that we need. This is my family. I strongly suggest to not go that route.
To not write a love letter?
No, because you're committing with emotion. And sometimes that's used against you. Because if you are accepted, and let's say that there are things that come out of the home inspection and the seller feels like they don't want to address, well, you love this home so much, I'm not going to fix this for you because you love it. You put your heart on the table.
So use it against you.
You'll talk your buyers out of doing a love letter.
In today's market, yes. Now, years ago when there wasn't as much competition, then great, you can try to appease to someone's emotion. But today, the bottom line sellers are really concerned about is terms and pricing.
So this is a funny story. A client who you know, who I just went to go visit, was trying to buy a house. And the first time I've ever heard this before, the seller was like, I hate your love letter. Like, this love letter is trash. Like,
really?
He didn't.
This really happened?
Yes. He wrote, not a love letter, he wrote a what's wrong with your house letter and why I'm offering a lower price than what y'all want letter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
would you ever submit a letter like that?
No, not at all. That doesn't help either.
Like, I know you want, you know, $3 million, but, you know, did you realize that you got this?
I would never put that in print. It would be
a conversation. So instead, I'm going to offer you 2.8.
No.
Like, yes.
Are they a listener? I need to know who this is. That's why I asked. I do not.
You know who it is.
Okay.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, if I worked with that particular client, I would have been able to give them a little bit more of guidance to say this probably isn't the best route for us to go.
Yeah.
At least not to put it in writing.
Or just have to tell them if they've already done it, you're not getting this house.
Yeah, this is not going to work well for you at all.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you another funny story. A family member of mine selling this house. He got the love letter from one offer. One didn't come with a love letter, but it came with a higher price. Mm-hmm. This family member just went with the higher price.
Because they don't care about the emotion of the buyer.
But what's crazy, the higher price bid was from an investor who then literally nitpicked and nitpicked until the price ended up being way lower than what he would have gotten if he went with the heartfelt love letter person.
And that is the flip side to it as well.
Yeah.
Terms. Let's talk about terms because sometimes we're hung up on pricing, but again, the shiny penny isn't always the best one. And exactly what you just explained typically happens. So we'll go with the highest offer. Their goal is to eliminate the competition, secure you in contract, and do exactly what happens. They'll nitpick during home inspections. They're trying to recoup what they overspent in their minds. But if you have terms that say, hey, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars over asking, I'm going to limit my home inspection repair request, right? The appraisal is going to be covered by this amount and show a proof of funds that they actually have those funds to cover their down payment amount, what it is that they're offering over the asking price, as well as their closing costs. Then that is the term that you'd want to focus on because they are positioning themselves to more or less secure your asking price. Well, the price that they're offering you with it being over asking because they're putting these terms in writing.
Interesting. Do you prefer to represent buyers or sellers?
Sellers only because it's a better way to kind of dictate the market. In the sense of we're putting them, I put the inventory out there based off of what current sales are and it'll track those buyers would then keep the real estate market pretty much flowing in a pace where, okay, great, you priced it to sell, it sells pretty quickly and you move on to the next. With the buyers, they're constantly competing so they don't always secure something right away. So
it sounds like you probably feel like you're in more control when you're selling.
Yes.
Than when you're buying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you like control.
Absolutely. Who doesn't?
I would imagine buyers don't always know what they want. They don't know what they need. They just may not really be as prepared as they think they are. It's just more difficult.
Well, buyers have a lot of expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time with buyers, you have to manage those expectations.
Yeah.
They watch a lot of HGTV.
I was going to say, wow. Yep.
And they are looking at price points based in, here are we, St. Louis,
right.
Indianapolis.
Yep.
And they're searching for homes in New Jersey.
Right.
And they want everything for $350,000. And at $350,000, I can sell you possibly a two-bedroom condo.
Right. Mm.
But not the single-family home with the two-car garage,
yeah. Right.
And the finished basement, because mm-hmm. that's what your friend or family member purchased at one point. That yeah. is not today's market.
Somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
So let's get into some forecasts. There's a forecast that housing prices are going to continue to rise, even though there are also forecasts that show that our economy might shrink or the growth might slow down, that the Fed might need to cut interest rates. Like, even though all of that's going on, nobody's expecting that housing prices are going to go backwards, that they're going to get lower. And I think people keep saying, like, hey, I'm waiting for the prices to drop. Like, do you think prices are going to drop?
They're dropping from where they are overpriced. Are we going to see a market where what is selling today at $500,000 is going to then start selling at $400,000? No. But we will see where the prices are a bit more normalized mm-hmm. to reflect what's being offered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if you just take a step back from it, it's not much different than investing, right? Right. Prices may drop temporarily or for a short while, but if you're already elevated from, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago, it's not going to come back down to
correct.
Those prices. It
right.
just may come down from
where they were.
From where they were.
Yeah, I think people literally think that they'll be able to buy a house that is currently $1 million for $500,000 if they just wait it out.
Those buyers have not been successful. I've worked with them over the years and they are still paying
still
rent.
Waiting.
She said it with yeah. a straight yeah. face though, but yeah, that's
it's
what
true.
It is.
I always reference, hey, you know, when eggs are $9 a dozen and you need eggs, you buy your eggs for $9 a dozen.
Word.
Yeah. Right? You buy your gallon of milk for $6 because you need your milk. If you need a home, those who can't afford it will.
But guess what? I ain't making no omelets.
That's okay.
Maybe not.
It's okay.
Not yeah. for my kids, at least. Maybe I'll scramble myself some eggs.
Like one egg omelets only.
Yeah. That's
but funny. You purchased that dozen of eggs.
So you mentioned condos for a moment.
Yes.
And the condo market is different than the, what would you call it, the single family home market, the fully detached single family home. So we have some clients that have really expensive condos, $1 million, $3, $4, $5 million condos. And then you also have kind of your starter home condo. Markets are very, very different. What are some of the challenges to owning and trying to sell a condo?
There aren't many challenges in trying to sell a condo. What it is in ownership is limitations.
Okay.
So you have limited outdoor space. Anything on the exterior has to be uniform to the development. So you'd have to seek approval from the HOA association. But you also have the privilege of having someone to maintain your snow removal, right? On those days that it's snowing, you don't have to worry about clearing any of that out because that goes along with your HOA fee.
But right? don't you find that when people are selling condos, there's always somebody selling a bad comp out there that's like bringing all the values down?
No, because that's in any market, whether it's a single family or yeah. a condo. The condo and townhome is more affordable in today's market because the single family homes now come with a price point of at least $500,000 to $600,000. That's not necessarily an affordable number for someone who's just entering to the market for the first time.
So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple more things under the real estate umbrella. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Momentum.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Still got Kim.
Hi.
She's still hanging with us.
She's spitting the facts about real estate, breaking hearts along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us a funny story about just an unrealistic expectation of a buyer or a seller that you had to deal with.
Oh, man.
She's got a couple. She's trying to decide which one.
Gotta give me a sec.
Oh, yeah. Glasses came off.
Oh, my goodness. Unrealistic buyer and seller.
Or seller.
So I have a combo of both. They were selling and buying.
Okay.
This is in the height of the market, early 2021. They wanted to sell, capitalize on selling the home, but had to also purchase a property.
Okay.
When they purchased the home that I sold them, it was a market where there was more room for negotiations. And I mention that because this is the mindset that they came into the 2021 buyer's market with. So we secured a buyer very quickly on their property. Now it's time for them to find something. We're looking at these properties, and every offer that they submitted were significantly under list price. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we couldn't secure a property. So we're getting towards the tail end of closing with the current buyer, and the seller says, "But wait a minute, I didn't find a home." I said, "Okay, well, then you should think about getting a rental. So this way you don't, you know, kind of obstruct the plans of the current buyer, and you can transition into a rental, mm-hmm. sell the home. You're not a contingency, and it can still all work itself out." "No, I don't want to do that. I want to continue looking for a home." I said, "Time is running out," but, you know, fast forward, we're about 2 weeks before closing and no more extensions are being offered. Mm. And then they hit a wall.
Mm.
Now it's my fault.
So real quick, they've already accepted an offer to sell their house.
Accepted the offer.
But they haven't found anything to buy yet.
Because they constantly made offers
that were too low.
Too low mm-hmm. in a market that was high. So they sold their home, top dollar,
yep.
matter of days.
Yep.
But as a buyer, they didn't see anything that was, they lowballed every
mm-hmm.
offer.
Mm-hmm.
They lowballed every offer and was not successful in the purchase part of this whole transaction. I became enemy number one.
Yeah.
Because no one listened to the realtor. I'm just a realtor. What do I know?
Right.
And I think to this day, they are still in a rental because they refuse to pay what they think these homes are worth in their minds.
But you know what's crazy about that story? When you're selling and then buying something else, you got to recognize that you're kind of hedged, right? Like you got a better price than you probably would have expected.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And you got to pay a little higher than you would have wanted.
Correct.
But people don't see it like that.
That's rational thinking.
That's rational thinking. These individuals who will remain nameless.
Yeah.
Too much rational. Like right now.
That's what my dad would say.
Yeah. So sometimes people get in their own way.
Mm.
And they don't end up successful.
And also, when you're waiting, it doesn't mean you're going to get what you were waiting for. It sounds like when it comes to real estate, you might just be waiting.
Well, it's all strategy. So if you're going to sell a home and you're also interested in purchasing a home, you then become a contingent buyer on that purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different ways that we could go about having that done in a successful manner. But you have to follow the advice of the professional because this is something that we do day to day.
Interesting. There's a lot of folks who want to be involved as investors in real estate. And we know that the trends have been that if you invested in real estate in the last 10 years, you've done pretty well. But what advice would you have for investors today?
This is probably not their market currently in the New Jersey area, only because the opportunities that are available that investors will find favorable, they still typically tend to lowball these offers, where you have buyers that just want to get into a property that would spend more than what the investor would.
Mm.
And those first-time home buyers will be able to purchase that property, whereas the investor will not offer what that property would be sold for compared to the buyer.
So you're saying the person that would live there is willing to pay a higher price
absolutely
than an investor but would want to pay for that same price.
Yes.
And you're seeing that trend.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about first-time home buyers in a little bit, but I also think this is just my own personal opinion. There's no obvious real estate expertise here, but Alan knows I'm a big fan of something we call behavioral finance. So when I have a client or a friend or a family member who's asking me about, from an investments perspective, real estate, it comes back to, well, what's your goal? And usually they'll say, well, the goal is to buy the property and make money. But it's like, no, what's really your goal? Right. Do you plan to buy it, fix it, sell it? Are you going to buy and hold? Are you going to hold it for a long time and have tenants? Like, ultimately, what's your purpose? And then I ask another question. Do you want to be a landlord?
That is a big question.
It's a lifestyle thing. Yeah. Not everybody is cut out to do that, wants to do it, may not have the bandwidth to do it, may not want to pay for a property manager. So it's, I think they're similar things.
It sounds sexy. You know, yeah. I own properties and I'm a landlord and I, you know, have residual income with rental mm-hmm. income. However, when something needs to be fixed, right? If you have a tenant that becomes a nightmare, you know, now you have to get them out of the property. You have to evict them. How does that work out?
Residual headache.
There you go.
With residual income. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out there just because so many people, we get that question a lot about real estate investing in general. And there's certainly multiple ways to do that, but I wanted to get your perspective on that.
So sure.
And was your comment mostly about single family homes, or is that also for multifamily and other types of
multifamilies as well? And I mean, again, there are opportunities that are out there. They're just, you know, slim pickings in this immediate area. If you were to look, like, I have people that are looking more into like the Baltimore area, right? I don't sell real estate in Baltimore, but there have been success stories of investors that are, you know, having success in those areas. But again, it's not in New Jersey, not in this immediate central area.
What advice would you give to a first-time home buyer?
For the first-time home buyer, I would say first determine your buying power. And that means obtaining a pre-approval. Because without knowing what your buying power is, any expectation that you may have mm-hmm. may not necessarily be met within your price range. And that's usually the biggest challenge. Buyers have an expectation. They have this dream of what they want their home to be. And when they see what their buying power is, it's very different. But most importantly, what I want to share with home buyers, first-time home buyers, is you can always start off with a condo. It doesn't have to be the large home. You know, you can buy a property and sell it in a few years and continuously buy properties and resell. You don't have to just buy it and be stuck with it. Allow yourself to at least have home ownership. Buy something that's within your price range.
We think buying a home is a big part of building wealth. Like, is that your view as well?
It is, and that's why you shouldn't wait for lower interest rates. Commit to buying the property now. When the rates drop, you can always refinance and, you know, structure it in a manner that'll help you. But get your foot in the door and own something.
It seems to me like it's similar to when we talk about people trying to time the market. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to wait until this happens and then I'm going to jump in. Well, what if what you're waiting for doesn't happen?
Correct.
And when you jump in, it's actually even more expensive time to buy than
well, had
you just gone
in. Well, it goes back to the buyer that you know, we secured the short sale with. The same inventory that was available in 2021 is the same inventory available now with a $100,000 increase in purchase price.
Right.
So it's almost like doing the same dance mm-hmm. and not getting a different result because they didn't want to commit years ago.
What advice would you have for a seller who's trying to get the top price they can get for their home and their home might need some repairs? Like, how would you prioritize which things need to be taken care of before you list a home?
So I always love to have these consultations with homeowners about low cost improvements that will give you a higher rate of return. Mm. So if it's a property that you obviously you're going to sell, you know, but you do want to do improvements that are going to attract buyers because everybody wants new.
Yeah.
So you do something within your budget. We talk about your timeline and then we plan accordingly to having the work done into the property. And then we also look at what has sold and you want to be strategic in where you price to be able to command that attention with multiple offers and a lot of buyers versus sitting on market and having to do a price reduction.
But if you were to prioritize, like these are things that give your property the curb appeal or just like, if you don't fix this, then it's going to be a problem. Like what are those, how would you prioritize the things that need to be addressed?
So most buyers love new bathrooms and kitchens. So mm-hmm. let's see what the conditions of the bathrooms are. But outside of that, let's look at your HVAC systems. Look at your furnace. And if those are original to the home, if you have a property that's maybe 20 years plus, you know, we can always consider offering a home warranty at the end of closing to at least cover any type of repair that may be needed with that buyer for the first year. So there's different ways that we can kind of jump ahead of that so that the seller doesn't have to spend too much money in trying to sell, because most sellers don't want to do that.
What are some ways that sellers waste money fixing up things that people don't care about?
Making personal choices to what they want to do with the property. So if they love purple, you know what? I'm going to put in purple countertops because I just love purple.
I can see Andrea doing that.
Really?
Okay, I can't see Andrea doing that.
But you get the point, yeah. right? Yeah. Don't make too many choices that are personal to your own taste. I always think about neutrality, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have neutral colors throughout. So if you have a home that each room has, you know, various colors, let's maybe invest in a really good paint job and just have one palette throughout the home.
There was a lot of publicity about realtors offering different prices based on the photographs in the home. If there's Black families being photographed, then the prices that came in as offers were lower. Are you seeing that folks are taking down photographs in their homes when they're selling?
We're kind of beyond that a little bit at this point. If you do not want to purchase a home from someone of color, then this is just not the home for you. But where that does become important is during the appraisal, not so much of what people are going to spend. The appraisal is what the bank deems the value of the property as. And there has been time, and I have experienced it over the years, where the appraiser will, you know, arrive at the property a few minutes earlier, and the homeowner may be there. They could be someone of color. And the comps show where the sales are, but this appraisal report will come in significantly less. What do you attest that to?
And what can you do if that happens to you?
You have to have proof. And that's where the hard part comes in, right? To really prove, how can you show that this was a biased appraisal? But what I do is I send my other colleagues that maybe don't look like me to attend the appraisal. Because then nobody knows who I am. Because even me as a listing agent, because I have a diverse clientele, not everyone is of color. You know, I have an array of clients. But sometimes they see me as the listing agent and they may feel, you know what? They just want to underappraise it because it's me.
Yeah, it's a shame that that factors in.
But yeah. I have experienced that, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think about the impact of staging? Like, is staging a thing?
Staging does have impact, especially in vacant properties. Because not everyone has vision to see what that space can really do for them. So, you know, if you have one large piece of furniture in a space, at least it allows that buyer to have range of what else can be held within that space. If it's vacant, homes tend to show a bit smaller.
Trump. What does Trump have to do with the housing market? What are the things that you expect will happen under this presidency?
Real estate is really driven off of the needs of the consumer, right? So, you know, a lot of people talk about the political climate that we're in and how does that affect housing market. And I think it has very little to do with it, honestly. I mean, yes, people are losing their jobs and incomes are changing. But ultimately, real estate is driven by life changes. People marry, they divorce, people die, their kids leave the home, their families expand. And if they need to purchase a home, they just do. It doesn't matter what's going on around them.
Lastly, do you think we're in a housing bubble? There's a house on my block, by the way, that is not worth more than $300,000 or $400,000, being sold for $700,000 right now. I say being sold, being listed.
Well, that would be a price reduction that I will look out for.
You think we're in a bubble?
I don't know if we're in a bubble. I just think we're in an unbalanced market that needs to be normalized.
What does that mean?
That means because bubbles burst.
Yeah.
People that are buying homes today can't afford their homes. When we had a real estate bubble in the mid-2000s, those homeowners could not afford the homes. Remember, there was a lot of 100% financing being given out where people, you know, they earned $50,000 and they were giving loans for $500,000. That couldn't sustain itself.
Yeah.
In today's climate, people, they do have the means of affording these homes. It's just that some sellers are a bit overzealous than others to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right?
It was an investor group.
I was going to say, do you know your neighbor personally?
No, an investor. Okay. Like this home, I actually wanted to buy the house. I couldn't figure out how to buy it. Like literally I called, the bank was like, yeah, like I could not find the seller. Mm-hmm. And somebody figured it out. They bought it. They did a whole bunch of improvements to it. They like, it had an underground storage tank. They pulled it up. They, you know, did the whole landscaping thing. And I just was blown away at the listing price. Like, I hope they get it because it'll make my house go up. But at the same time, like, I think you'd be smoking crack to buy that house for that price.
Not smoking crack.
I wonder what made them think that they could command that price.
Well, if it's an investing group, they are looking to recoup what they spent on the rehab. Mm-hmm. And that's where we go back to it not being much of an investor market in certain pockets, because if you overspend in pricing materials and you're looking to recoup those monies back,
you're not going to.
You're not going to.
Yeah. Ultimately,
keep us posted. Let us know what happens.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's still sitting there. It's probably almost double the price per square foot that my house is worth
right now. That's crazy.
Send me the address.
I will.
Well, you know what I was going to say. Let's make it happen.
Let's see.
So we're out of time. This flew by.
It did.
It did.
Thank you so much, Kim. Before we go, are there any socials you want to drop? Any websites? Any info for staying in contact with you?
Oh my goodness. I'm so new to social media right now. But you can find me at Kim Primus New Jersey Realtor on Instagram.
That would be KimPrimus.
Also known as Lil' Kim, the Realtor. No, I'm just joking. I'm making up stuff. You are from Brooklyn. But.
I am all day. But I am also a Jersey resident of 20 plus years. So I don't know.
We've adopted you.
You've adopted me?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Jersey has been good to me.
Are there any other websites or ways you want folks to stay in touch with you?
They can always reach out to me on Instagram, or you can send me a text at my cell number, 347-262-8561.
Aggressive. I like
it. Phone's about to blow up.
Okay.
And what about sellers?
Sellers. I love sellers because sellers are what we need to feed the inventory for the buyers that can't secure anything, right? So I need to submit. I need to supply the inventory. That's where I need the sellers. So I need a seller someone who's thinking about selling their home to reach out. Let's have a conversation about your plans to sell, your plans to move, and come up with a plan to get you in the right direction.
Love that. Love that. Well, Kim, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Dre and I will be back in a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Father's Day to the fathers in your life, by the way.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll take that. And we'll see you in a week.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.